The first scripture today comes from Luke chapter 1 verses 26 through 38. This is taken from the New Revised Standard Version. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by this, by his words, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor, David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The second reading is taken from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 10. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast.
Well, good morning. Thank you for a chance to share some thoughts on this Mother's Day. I know it's not Advent. You might have been confused with the first hymn and even with the scripture. But there were some things as I was preparing this that called me to this. This being Mother's Day, I considered sharing stories of our mothers and the words of wisdom and love and support that we may have received from them. The range of stories about our mothers would likely range from heartwarming to humorous. If I shared stories about my mother, most of those would be have some humor to those, to heartbreaking, and in many cases there would be elements of all of those as we think of our mothers. When I found I would be sharing a message on this day, I began to consider how I would approach this with a biblical focus. So I thought about mothers that we have read about in the scriptures. Eve, okay, first mom, that's pretty important mother to have on the list. Sarah, the example of it's never too late to be a mom. And this is from Genesis, a reminder of her story. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "They're in the tent." Then one said, I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, oh, yes, you did laugh. Another mom, Hannah, the mother of Samuel, whom she dedicated to God's service. Elizabeth, another older mom and the mother of John the Baptist. I love the line in the scripture that Cynthia shared, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary, the most famous of mothers and the mom that I would like to focus on today. So on this Mother's Day, and I invite all of you, men and women, to put yourself into Mary's place. An angel has come to you and said that the Son of God is going to be born in you. Is anything impossible with the Lord? In the carol, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, we sang, born to reign in us forever. So the angel has come and said, God is going to be born in you. Imagine that God is born in each one of us at some point in our lives. We may be like Sarah, ha, not going to happen. And God may say, is anything too wonderful for the Lord? We may look around and see others that seem to have God living in them and say, I would like to have God living in me. God wants to be born in each one of us. And when he is living in us, he takes charge of our lives. He calls us, he guides us, he walks with us, he comforts us, he brings us peace. He blesses us with his grace, he delights in us, he feeds us on his word. He brings us together in his name. You know, I like to share things from Steve Garness Holmes, and he wrote this brief piece about God living in us. Steve says, grace and peace to you. And from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 11, he reminds us, it says, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. The first time I heard this scripture, I imagined God like a magician turning David into a house. Poof, now you're a house. This might not be what this means, but it stays with me. It's not that we're weird. After all, Paul says that your body is the temple of God. And what Gabriel said to Mary was essentially, God is going to come live in you. Maybe this is the message of Christmas, the meaning of incarnation. You are God's dwelling place. God's house. You hold God inside you. Your thoughts, words, and actions, your body itself, and your breathing are where God lives. God sleeps in you at night. God gets up in the morning and goes in and out of you. When God steps into the world, it's after having been nourished in you. When God gets weary of the injustice of the world, God comes home to rest in you. Evil can't take you over as a squatter because God lives there. Oh, I love that. You are where God feels at home. God sometimes remodels. God sits around looking out a window, feet up and says, "Yeah, I love this place. Built it myself." Be a spacious house for God. Make plentiful room for the Holy One to hang out in. With big windows, like Mary, don't just let God in, let God take over. Begin the day by expanding your soul, breathing in, creating room. Let God make you a house, and let God live there. That's the end of his story. Like Mary, when we are approached with the idea that God is going to be born in us, we are called to remember Mary's words. "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." The angel reminded Mary, "For nothing is impossible with God." God can be born in each of us and live in us and guide us and remodel us and strengthen us and encourage us. God loves this place, living in us. But we need to remember that this is God living in us. With our earthly children, we feel a responsibility to raise them as we feel we are called, to teach them to be good citizens, to love and serve the Lord, to heal the sick, to treat one another with justice and respect, to walk with Christ each day. However, when Christ is born in us, we are being raised by the Son of God living in us. As Susan and I have visited churches and cathedrals and museums around the world, we began to notice an interesting feature of many paintings and sculptures, to the point that I began to take pictures of them when they appeared. We affectionately call these paintings and sculptures adult baby Jesus. Here are a few examples of Christ portrayed as an adult baby. And as you look at these, let me know what you happen to see. It's such an intriguing feature that has been included in these. Go ahead, Ben. Or do I need to start it? This happens to be from a mission in south of Tucson, one of the oldest Spanish missions in the United States. And if you can see the adult baby, it doesn't look like a baby. This one happens to have a crown. So my point here is, even in a mission in the United States, this image of an adult baby has been used. I'm interested in this one because it doesn't look like a woman holding this adult baby. This mom is really happy. And this is from, we visited the Clark Mansion in Butte last week, and this painting was saved out of one of the churches that was torn down when the Berkeley Pit was expanded. There was a church that happened to be in that part of Butte, and a woman who owned the mansion recovered this painting from a church in Butte, again showing an adult baby. Anything that you notice in those? Yes. Yeah. Prince of Peace, I think, maybe. Anything else? Ah, always held on one, yeah, the left-hand side. I haven't noticed that before. Yeah. Oh, the crown, very often was wearing a crown. Yeah. Yeah, and when I first noticed that, I began to look for it, and it's amazing how often that is a feature in places. So, as I saw more and more of these, I began to wonder why Christ was depicted as an adult. I wonder if it is because although Christ was born a child, he was also born to be King of Kings, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Son of God, Almighty God, and all the many other titles assuring us of his power and majesty. As we open our lives to Christ reigning in us forever, we move from seeing Christ as someone that we mold into our image, but as Lord God living in us and shaping us into his image. God is building in us a palace fit for the King of Kings. Welcome him and let him live in you. There's a classic old tract entitled My Heart, Christ's Home, written by Robert Boyd Munger. He talks about inviting God to make his home in us. As God starts moving around in us, starts checking out all the rooms of our lives, what does he find? Where is he going to suggest that we do some remodeling? As he comes into our library, what will he find? Will he find books with which he is familiar? Will he have some suggestions on reading materials we might consider adding to our library? Will he have some suggestions on readings that may not be enhancing our spiritual life? Would God be pleased with the reading materials available in our library? As God wanders around in us, what will he think about sitting down to eat with us? Will we serve him a diet of junk food, or will we dine together on substantive food? Will our fellowship during our dining together be deep and meaningful, or will it be shallow and mundane? Will our table talk be about me, or will we ask with true interest in how God's day has been? Susan and I ask one another quite often, what are your deep thoughts? I believe God loves to hear our deep thoughts. With God living in us, we have access to the Wonderful Counselor. As God joins us in the den, will he be right at home with the entertainment that we have available? Will we engage with him in conversation and give his thoughts consideration as we talk about the issues of the day? How might we benefit from the wisdom of the Wonderful Counselor living in us? When God walks into our workshop or our office, will he find us working on projects that are dedicated to his service? God is willing to guide us and help us produce things that will benefit the kingdom. Munger reminds us, give your talents and gifts to God, and he will do things with them that will surprise us. As God is born in us and spends time in us, will he find us spending time in our prayer room? There's a great movie called The Prayer Room. A woman finds herself in the midst of deep life struggles, and a wise friend asks her if she has a prayer room in her home where she can spend time with God. As she puts together her prayer room and spends time sharing her prayers with the Lord, her life changes. Do we have a prayer room in our hearts, in our life, in our home, where we can have deep heart-to-heart prayer time with God? There's a wonderful scene toward the end of the movie where the family that created the prayer room is selling their home. They have cleaned out the house. A new pastor and his wife, who were moving to town, come to look at the house with the possibility of purchasing it. As the pastor tours the home and walks into the room that has been the prayer room, he stops because he senses something special has happened in this room. He senses the powerful presence of prayers that have been lifted up from this place. As we invite God to live in us, he will always be there waiting for us to visit. Do we visit that part of the home where God is patiently waiting for us to come and spend time with him? Or is our life so busy that we don't have time to stop in and visit with the Lord. On this Mother's Day, imagine that God is born in each one of us. We are pregnant with Christ, and we are to make room for Christ to live in us. We are much like Mary and Elizabeth and Sarah. God is to be born in us, for nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing is too wonderful for God. And all we need to do is respond as Mary did, saying, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." The following illustration is in C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity. C.S. Lewis was a very good friend of George MacDonald, and he attributes this to George MacDonald. Imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps, you can understand what he is doing. He is getting the drains right and stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You know that these jobs needed doing, and so you are not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house from the one that you thought of. Throwing out a new wing here, putting up an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were going to be made into a decent little cottage, but he is building a palace. He intends to come and live in it himself. May God be born in us and reign in us forever. Amen.